Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 28 tonight. Matthew chapter 28. I think, Linda, you came out and helped a little bit this week as well, didn't you? Thank you, Linda, for that. And some others. Who else came out, Brother Shepherd? You had some other folks come out. Brother Fletcher, my son came out. My son was told to come out. No, I'm sorry, but Don, you come over and help. Thank you, all of you who helped with that. And believe me, all of that investment of time makes saving really tremendous. So Matthew chapter 28, we'll stand as read God's Word together. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. As many of you know, we've been looking at a series entitled First Steps for Believers. And, of course, this series is about intended to help train us and to be good disciplers. And we talked at the very beginning about that, so we're not going to get too bogged down on this. But tonight I want to deal with the subject that probably is the most confused of all subjects. In Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, the Bible says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, the way, of course, as I do this, as I've been teaching this, is I'm teaching this as if we are dealing with one individual. So the idea is, many of you should be, we're at about, this is our fourth lesson. About two more lessons, I want you to begin to pray about me as a, you know, me as a church member. Okay, God, do you want me to be involved in training somebody else, teaching somebody else these truths? And a couple of people already mentioned to me, you know, it sounds like something I want to do. And I certainly pray that we'll raise up a lot of disciples. In fact, the truth of the matter is, I believe that everybody should want to do it. Because the Bible says that we're to pass down to the next generation. We're to pass it down. We're all to be disciplers. You disciple your children. You teach your children. And we need to teach the next generation. Do you realize that if we don't teach the next generation, we are just one generation away from there not being a church at all? I mean, if we don't teach them, who is? If they don't learn, who's going to learn? And I know we have the verse in Scripture that I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against that. That is true, and Christ promised that. And there's no doubt about that. But what God is saying is we need to be obedient, as 2 Timothy 2:2 says, in what we have learned, we teach it to somebody else. And we know, of course, this is what we're talking about here. Baptism is the most confused subject I have found in helping people to understand Bible truth. Churches have taught all kinds of things when it comes to baptism. Some churches teach the fact that you have to be baptized in order to be a Christian, to be saved. Some churches teach that you have to be baptized, that when you're baptized, it takes away your sin. The water washes away your sin. And some people really believe that. Others believe that baptism is the New Testament complement of the Old Testament circumcision. So when we start talking about baptism, we're looking at a whole different world of teaching. But the truth of the matter is, churches can teach all the different things they want, but we are not trying to focus on what churches teach. We're trying to focus on what does God teach. We're wrapped up in what does the Bible teach. We're a Bible church. We're a church that's wrapped around the Word of God. The parameters and the protection that we have as a church is not what some other church taught us. It's what God teaches us through His Holy Word. So I want to help you today to understand that. One man told me this. It's kind of funny. One man told me this. He said, "Pastor," he said, "I've been dipped, I've been poured, I've been sprinkled. What else do you want me to do?" And that maybe sound like some of you in here. Maybe you felt that way too. And maybe that's how you think as well. But there is a clear teaching on baptism. And what I want to do is give you just a simple, basic approach to understanding baptism so that you will know when we are done that you will know what the Bible says about baptism. All right? So let's take our notes out and look at our sheet there. I'm calling it our next step. What is my next step? If it's baptism, then I want to seek to answer some questions. And that's how we're going to look at this. We're going to look at this from, okay, here's the question, here's the Bible answer. Here's the very first question. Why am I to get baptized? Remember, when I, as a 14-year-old teenager, I was saved on October 22nd, 1972. Coming up this Saturday will be my spiritual birthday. And I remember I was saved that Sunday night, and then the next week they started talking to me about now that you're a Christian and all of that, you need to get baptized. And so I said, all right, here's the very first question I ask. Why? Why do I need to get baptized? That's the very first question I want to know. Why? And so tonight I want to show you why, first and foremost, because for many of us, we may be saying, why? Or if someone that I'm discipling asks me why, I want to be able to give them good Bible answers. Well, let me just give it to you very clear. The Scripture says it is an act of obedience. In other words, it's an act of obedience to the clear commands of Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about that. Jesus commands us to be baptized. And in an act of obedience and identification with Jesus Christ. So I am commanded to be obedient. So that's a good reason. And I want to tell you this. If Jesus tells me to do something, that's good enough for me. You know, I don't have to have a whole list of whys. If He tells me to do this, then that's good enough. That's where the obedience part comes in. And I'll give you some verses. Let's look at them. For example, here in Matthew chapter 3. We saw that then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said to him, suffer it be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Notice, he was baptized. Now, Jesus did this as an example to us, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But notice, what does God say about his Son? He's well pleased because he's obedient in doing what God wants him to do. Jesus tells us in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. We just read that. Right in the middle of verse 19, notice what he says. He says, baptizing them. That's the command given. These two verses has been called the Great Commission. And it says that in those verses that if you were to ask our church, what is your mission statement? What are you to do? What is your church's purpose for existence? These two verses spell it out clearly. These two verses tell us what we're to do. And so it is that if we're to do that, then God is saying to the people who are a part of that ministry, that's what they're to submit to. It's baptism. Salvation, baptism. And that's what he's talking about here. Not only did Jesus command us to be baptized, but he also himself was an example. And no Christian will ever grow to Christian maturity until if they neglect being baptized. I've never known a Christian who ever has grown to spiritual maturity until, first of all, they've dealt with this one area of obedience. One of the things I've found, and if I'm talking to someone like John, one of the things I've found is this, that if I'm a Christian, if I'm to walk with God and grow with the Lord, I need to take care of every area of obedience that He teaches me in my walk with the Lord. Every area. And this is one of the very first areas that the Lord tells me that I'm to deal with. And it's the area of obedience and identification. And so for you to grow as a Christian, and for you to really begin to mature and be all that God would have you to be, that is an important step for you to take. So I look in that and I make sure of that. And so I want to be clear with people so they can get that. Baptism is a public declaration of my belief in Jesus Christ and my identification with Him as my Savior. Several years ago, when I was an assistant pastor, we had a man in our church that had been saved, but he had not been scripturally baptized. In fact, he was one of those guys that had been sprinkled. And he came to our church, and he was an older gentleman. Now, when I say older, I was young then, so he might have been my age now. So he was probably a really young guy. He just seemed older in those days. But I remember that he came to me after services, sometime in December. I remember it was December. He came to me, and he said, God has been speaking to my wife and I. His first name was Lois. His wife's name was Margaret. He said, Margaret and I, God has spoken to our heart about getting baptized, and we want to make it as a New Year's resolution that we're going to get baptized. And I thought, that's a good thing. I said, that's great, Lewis. I'm really excited for you. I'm glad you're going to do that. Now, he'd been saved for many years, but he'd never been, we'll talk about this, sprinkling. You know, he'd only been sprinkled. He'd never been baptized. He'd been sprinkled, he told me. And I said, okay. And he said, but here's what I want to do. He says, I want to do it on a Thursday morning between Christmas and New Year's. That's what he told me. And I said, what? He said, I want to do it between Christmas and New Year's on like a Thursday morning. I don't remember why he picked that day that was the time he wanted to do it. And I said, well, can you help me with something here? He said, yeah. I said, why do you want to do it then? He said, because I don't want anyone to see me. Now, he's one of these kind of guys that, you know, he kept his hair. It was, you know, he was one of the fortunate guys that got older. He kept his hair, you know, and he combed it just the right way and all of that. And he just said, I just don't want anyone to see me. And I said, well, I won't baptize you. I said, it is a public declaration. In other words, you have to do it publicly. You don't do it in private. Baptism is not something you do in private. It's something you do in public. And what you're doing is you're standing there saying, hey, I am a Christian, and I'm being baptized, and I'm being identified with Christ. Christ did not die in private. He died in public. So I want to be publicly identified with Jesus Christ. He said, wow, I never thought of it that way. Guess what? Sunday night, New Year's, before the New Year's, he was baptized. Praise the Lord for that. But that's the point. It's public declaration. So the question then, number one, is why? It's because Christ commands us to get baptized. So let me ask you, if someone were to say to you, why should we get baptized, what would we say? Christ commanded it. Let's try it one more time. Why should we get baptized? Right, number one. Next question we have is, all right, if we're to be baptized, and the reason is because Christ commands us, then who is to get baptized? Who is it? That's the next question. Now, if you go and you look at our memory verse, and I put that in front of you right there in your little notes, that memory verse will help you to understand that. In Acts 2:41, the Bible says, then they that gladly received His word were baptized. So now it's going to be identifying for us who should get baptized. Who? So there are two very important key verses. What we just looked at, Matthew 28:19-20, and Acts 2:41. It's a key to understanding who should get baptized. It reveals, and I wrote this down for you, that every person who trusts Jesus Christ is to be baptized. Every person. Not just some, but everyone. Now notice, it did not say every person, but it says every person who is saved. Did you happen to see that? It's not just every person, but every person who has trusted Christ. Now that's important. Keep that in mind. Nowhere do you find a baby that was baptized in the Scriptures. You won't find it. It's not there. Or you won't find a person who has never received Jesus Christ as being baptized in the Scriptures. It's just not there. So the only person, or the person who is to get baptized, is always believers. So let me ask you then, if someone were to say, who should get baptized, what would we say? What's our answer? Believers. Right. Those who are saved. So let's just say believers. All right. So the person that is to get baptized is a believer. That's very significant. Please notice Matthew 28:19-20, Acts 2:41. Every person is already a believer that gets baptized. He is not getting baptized to be saved. He already is saved. That is very, very significant. That's what we call believers' baptism. Now, you may ask the question, why? Because it's out here in church world, if you would. It's been called Christendom, whatever you want to call it. Out here in the church world, people go into the church. A lot of people get what they would call baptized, and they don't have to be a Christian to get baptized. But according to the Bible says it is for what? Believers. Right. Baptism is for believers. So we call it believer's baptism. That's biblical. That's the right. Baptism is not a part of salvation. It is a separate act of obedience after a person has received Jesus Christ. And so in Acts 2:41, all people who were baptized were already believers. When it says, then they that gladly received His word, that means that they realized that they were sinners. That means they realized they couldn't go to heaven on their own. And they must put their faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's salvation. And then the Bible said, then they are baptized. Okay? So that's important. Next, if my next step then is baptism, then when should I get baptized? So we said that who should get baptized is what? Believers, right. And then why should we get baptized? Christ commands us that. Then the third is when. When should we do it? Well, it's outlined for us in these verses. It is interesting to note that both in Matthew 28:19-20 and Acts 2:41, God teaches a divine order. A divine order. Okay? Here is the order. He wrote it out for us. It's very clear. Salvation is first. In other words, you have to believe first. You have to be a believer. You know, I'm beating that drum pretty hard, but that's important to understand. You have to be saved first. Then, baptized. Then, church membership. Can I get you to look at Acts 2:41 with me? Would you look at it with me, please? Can we read that again? Let's just look at it. You can open it up. It's in your sheet, or you can look it up in your Bible. But Acts 2:41 tells me. And I want to tell you this, church, as you're turning there, anybody that you ever talk to about baptism, if you use this, you will not have any confusion whatsoever because it's clearly Bible. In Acts 2:41, then they that gladly received His word, that's salvation, were baptized. And there were added unto them about how many? 3,000 souls. So you have, excuse me. So we have salvation, we have baptism, we have church membership. That is the divine order. You cannot have it twisted around. You can't have church membership, baptism, and salvation and make it biblical and right. You can't have baptism, salvation, church membership. You can't have it like that. It's totally out of order. God has a divine order about this matter. And that's why it's important for us to know when. So when should we get baptized? After we're saved. That's when we're to get baptized. And God makes that very clear. The passage teaches us there's an urgency about it then. If I want to be obedient, then I must follow the steps. So I get saved and get baptized. According to Acts 2:41, the Bible said the same day that they trusted Christ, they were baptized. Can you imagine that? The very same day. So they were saved, and then they were baptized on the very same day. It is not unbiblical and wrong to be saved and baptized on the same day. But keep this in mind. You get baptized because you already are saved, not to be saved. That is so important. So when should we get baptized? After we're saved. After we're saved. Now, let's go to one more. Another question we have is, if my next step is baptism, then how? That's the question. This seems to be a confusion for many people. And so I want to spend a little bit of time explaining that. A study of the word baptism gives us a complete understanding of what we call the mode of baptism. It's the Greek word baptizo. And what we call, this word's an interesting word because the word is translated, it is not really like translated as much as it's just transliterated into the English language from the Greek. So that when you look up the word baptizo, it sounds very much like baptism. That's a transliterated word. The word means to dip, to plunge, to immerse. Now let me ask you, John, if you sprinkle, do you immerse? If you pour, is that immersion? No. In other words, baptism means to immerse. That means put them all the way under. That's what the word itself means. So that's very important. In fact, throughout the Bible, all believers were immersed. You won't find any sprinkling or pouring. Let me show you. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. In Acts 8, verses 38 and 39, here's another place. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So they went down the water, come up out of the water. If you had to sprinkle or pour, both didn't have to go into the water. One could have just kind of reached in and grabbed a little bit of water on his fingers, or put in a little bit of a basin or something and poured it. But no, they went down the water. Immersion. Okay? And John also, in John's Gospel, was looking for water. And the Bible says that so that he could immerse his converts. In fact, in John 3:23, the Bible says, and John also was baptizing in Enon near Salem because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. Now, you don't need much water if you're going to sprinkle or pour. So all through the Bible, other places, this is just a couple of places that we're looking at to help us to understand that it had to be immersion because they had to go down the water. And they had to have much water in order to do that. But we're going to talk about now why, or rather, how this works. So Romans chapter 6. Can we go there, please? Let's look at Romans 6. This is the most important passage to understanding of the how part of baptism. And let me read it to you. The Bible says in verse number 3, Romans 6, 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. The reason why the mode of baptism is that of immersion is because it's a picture of identifying with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. So when you go into the water, you picture the death when Jesus Christ died on the cross. When they buried him, did they just sprinkle a little bit of dirt on him or pour a little bit of dirt on him? No, they put him all the way into the tomb. And then he came up out of the tomb. So the idea then is, when we go into the water, we picture the death, the burial, and the resurrection. We're identifying with Christ. It is a picture then of what Jesus Christ did by dying on the cross and my identifying myself with him and what he did for me. And so when I do that, that's exactly what I'm doing, is I'm showing my declaring publicly my identification with Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, who died on the cross, who was buried, and rose again the third day. That's what baptism is. That's why we do it by immersion. So if my next step then is baptism, how? How do I do that? Well, how do I do it? By immersion. Immersion. That's why our church has a baptistry. That's why we have baptistry in here, a baptistry pools, it might be called, that people can come in here and we can baptize them and get them all the way under as Christ showed us. As we enter the water, we're identifying with all of that. And baptism then is a public declaration of my faith in Jesus Christ. Now, here's one more quick note for you to understand. In most Baptist churches, ours included, when you're saved, that's one act. When you're baptized, that's a separate act. But many times when people get baptized, they automatically become members of that church. In fact, I don't know of any Baptist church. I don't know of any. I'm not saying there's not. But I don't know of any Baptist church where people who get that, they would get baptized and they're not automatically a part of the church. In other words, they would have to go ahead and go forward and become a member of the church. So if a person says, you know, I want to get baptized, but I don't want to join, then they wouldn't be baptized in that local church. That's just the way it works. So baptism is important. It's a confused subject, but it's an important one because Jesus Christ set the example and he commands us that we're to be baptized. Let's take a few minutes and look at those questions that are given to you. And I want you just to answer those questions just briefly. Let's take just a couple of minutes and look at those questions to consider. And let's answer them very quickly. I'll give you about 3 minutes or so to just, you know, take your lesson, look through a few of those verses and answer them for you and see if that helps you to have a better understanding of it. By now, these questions are really just a synopsis of the whole lesson. Number one, why should a believer be baptized? Christ commanded it. Right. Number two, who should get baptized? Believers. Right. Only believers. Number three, where do we find babies baptized in the Bible? Nowhere. It's not there. Number four, what does the Greek word baptizo mean? To immerse. Right. Or to dip. Or to plunge. Any of those are certainly in order. Number five, what is the biblical mode of baptism? Immersion. Immersion. That is correct. Number six, how was the eunuch baptized in the Bible? By immersion. That's right. Number seven, what is the biblical divine order of Acts 2:41? Salvation, baptism, church membership. So, can I stop here? Let me digress. Let me just ask a real quick question. Let's say that next Sunday, and I know I've asked this before, so some of you are kind of old hat, but just to make sure we're all clear on this. Say, for example, this coming Sunday, a family wants to come and join Calvary Baptist Church, and of course, we want everybody to join. And they come forward and they want to join. What is the very first question I'm going to ask them about their wanting to join? What's the very first question I'm going to ask them? Are you saved? Right. And then what's the next question? They say, yes, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I received Christ my Savior in such time. What's the very next question I'm going to ask them? Were you baptized? Right. Can you tell me about that? And they said, I was sprinkled as a baby. Okay. So let me ask you a question. Where in the Bible are babies baptized? Nowhere. Okay. So am I going to say anything bad about their church? No, no, I'm not going to say anything bad about their church. I'm just going to say, well, that's good. I'm glad that you were baptized as a baby. I hope you enjoyed it. But the truth of the matter is, to be scripturally baptized, you have to get baptized after salvation, right? So I would show them this. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm not going to argue about them and criticize their church or anything like that. I'm just going to simply say, hey, let me show you what the Bible says about when you're to get baptized. You're to get baptized after. And so that's how I would handle that matter. So are you guys all with me here? You know, so I'm not going to say, well, you believe in that? You know, that's wrong. You know, no, you know, I'm just going to simply show them what the Bible says and let them get that in their mind and understand that. All right. Let's suppose they come forward and they say, that they were say, all right, here's what happened. I want to join Calvary Baptist Church. I said, tell me, when did you get saved? That's the number one question. Remember, I always ask that. And they say, I was saved last Sunday. Fantastic. So tell me, when did you get baptized? Because I know when they got baptized. I never have been baptized. So what happens at that point? I'm going to tell them about how to get baptized. I'm going to try and get them baptized, right? And now we get baptized, and they don't have to worry about joining the church. They automatically become a member of the church because, remember, when you get baptized, you automatically become a member of the church. That's how it works, okay? So that's the biblical divine order. Number 8, what does baptism picture according to Romans 6, verses 3 through 5? Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So for us then, when we understand biblical basis for baptism, I think that clears up a lot of things about the idea it takes away sin or washes away my sin or I have to do this to get saved or I have to do that. You know, that clears up all of that confusion because we realize what God says in His Word is so. All right, let's pray. Maybe you come here tonight and you realize that either you haven't been scripturally baptized, or perhaps maybe tonight you're not even been saved.